Our scripture for today comes from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaim to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which you also are being saved. If you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And that he appeared to Caiaphas, then to the 12. He then appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, although some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. May God bless this reading and hearing of his holy word. Let us pray. Father God, open our minds, our hearts, and our spirits up so that what is said, heard, and understood this day might be pleasing to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So about 40 years ago, I was around 14, my brother was around 13, and we had become more dependent. And so my mother decided to go back to work. She had worked in banking, so she went back and worked in banking. Up until that time, we had only had one car in the family, and it was decided that a second car was needed. Now, we had a one-car garage that my mom parked in, and my dad's car was left out to the elements. Our attorney had purchased a house many years before that, and on that property, there was a single-car wooden garage. And somehow, my dad found out that Jim Thomas was looking to get rid of it, and he said, "Hey, I'll buy it. I need it." So arrangements were made, and Dad took and jacked the garage up and put some support beams across it, and it was all ready to be brought to our house. Now, the backyard of our home wasn't flat. It had, you know, a nice gentle slope to it, as most yards do. Now, my dad could have very well have just plopped the garage down there on the ground and, you know, made use of it. But, you know, he didn't do that. Doesn't make a lot of sense because, you know, it's cattywampus, or, you know, it would tilt and it would be subject to, you know, the ground sinking into the ground and whatnot. So my dad and me and my brother, as slave labor, we dug a U-shaped trench and got the transom out and made sure that everything was level. And then we put down cinder block. And it was about 3 feet or so of cinder block. We put that in. Dad had a cement truck come in, put cement in there. And it was upon that foundation that we put the garage. And for those of you who are wondering, we got one of the local towing companies to bring out a flatbed truck, put the garage on that, and I walked out front and made sure that the way was clear. So why did my dad go to all that trouble? Because it did take, it took a couple weeks on nights and weekends to get it done. And that is because, as I said, it wasn't going to do any good just to plop that garage down on the ground. It needed to set on a foundation to ensure that it would continue to be usable. It needed that firm foundation. Being a Christian today is somewhat of a challenge. The world changes a lot faster than what it used to be. And unfortunately, I think it's changing for the worse. We can all tell stories about going out shopping or whatever, and we can all tell stories about people that are being rude. We can tell stories about people not caring, about selfishness, and about corruption. And it would be very easy for us to take and get sucked into this attitude that the world has. And I'll give you some personal examples. I am highly susceptible to road rage. I'm out on 81 and somebody's slow, or me personally, what gets my goat is when I'm driving along, there's a semi truck in the right hand lane, and I'm trucking along, and a semi that is behind him decides he needs to get over, and we're starting up a hill. And I'm like, why the heck did you do that? You're not going to be able to pass him. Get out of the way. I've got places to go. I've got things to do. There's a lot of parallels, I think, between the world that we live in today and the world that Paul lived in, and especially in the city of Corinth. In biblical times, Corinth was out on an isthmus. And there's still a Corinth in Greece today. It's not exactly where it was, but Corinth is in south central Greece, and it's about 48 miles or so west of Athens. And during Paul's time, because of where Corinth was situated, it was very easy for ships to come in. If you look at where Corinth is, there is easy access out to the Mediterranean and up into the Black Sea. So there was a lot of commerce going on. There were ships coming in, things being bought, things being sold. And Paul did make a couple journeys to the city of Corinth. And if you think about any large city that is a port, inevitably you start to see issues or the problems that having a port and having a lot of commerce run through there. And mainly what you see is a lot of corruption. You know, you want stevedores to unload, you know, well, we've got a queue here, but, you know, maybe we can take and move you up and get your stuff off the ship a little bit quicker. Or you want to bring in, shall we say, questionable goods. Well, you know, I can look the other way. Or, you know what, I can look the other way, but can you do this for me? Corruption today, corruption back in biblical times. And I see a lot of similarities between what is described and what is happening today in today's society. Now, Paul wrote two letters that we have in the Bible, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. But in the first book, what Paul is doing is he identifies problems that were happening within the Corinthian church. He offers them solutions and he tries to get across to them. He tries to teach them how to live a Christian life amid a corrupt society. So how do we do that? Well, for us to be able to resist the corruption, the selfishness, the rudeness of today's society, we ourselves, just like my dad's garage, we need a firm foundation. Otherwise, when things happen, we're going to get knocked down, we're going to get tossed around, and we are going to be susceptible to giving in to the norms of society today. So, the question is, what should our firm foundation be made from? Where do we get it? Well, how we get that is firstly to stand firm in what God teaches in the Bible. Paul starts out, "Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaim to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand." Paul is saying, look, I have told you about Jesus. I have told you about his teachings. I have told you about the wonderful things that he did and the wonderful things that he gives to us. Upon this, you need to stand firm. You need to use this as your firm foundation. As a Christian, it is very important for us to know what we believe and, more importantly, why we believe it. I believe in Jesus Christ. Why? Well, because, and we understand why we believe what we believe. Because out of our understanding of the scriptures, out of knowing what we believe and why we believe it, out of this comes our testimony to the world. our testimony about what God has done for us, how he saved us, and what we have been saved from. I know almost for a fact that a lot of people out there are suffering, and they are saying, I am the only person in the world that has ever felt like this or who has ever gone through this. And that is not right. What we believe, the things that we have gone through, the things that we have overcome can serve as part of our testimony to other people. You're not alone. I went through that. Or my mother or father or whoever went through it. And you know what? They made it. And you can take and make it too. In this passage, Paul also talks about and reminds the Corinthians of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, during this time, there were people going out and saying, Jesus wasn't resurrected. Jesus did not rise from the dead. It's all a lie. And people were believing it. And whether you believe, you know, whatever you think the forces of evil are in this world, the devil, Satan, demons, whatever, they were trying, these forces were trying very hard to twist the truth, to fit their agenda, to turn people, to confuse them from what the truth is. And my friends, that continues today. There are forces acting against us as Christians that try to attack us even today. And we must be ready. We must be ready to stand when we are stopped from doing God's will and from when the world tries to trample on us. Now, when you think of a firm foundation, you know, obviously I think of the cinder blocks that my dad used. But I also think about my physical foundation. Who's played sports? Anyone? Okay? Who played football? Okay? What would happen if you got to the line of scrimmage and you just stood here, you know, like this? What's going to happen? You're going to get run over. That person is going to come and he's going to hit you and you're going to go flying. So how do you stand in football usually? You're bent over. You've got your weight kind of forward. You're ready to spring forward to resist that person that is coming at you. Who's played basketball? Anyone? If you just stand there, you know, dribbling the ball, just kind of loose, what's going to happen? Somebody's going to come and is going to get that ball. So in basketball, it's kind of the same thing. You know, you have a certain stance. You know, your feet aren't side by side. You know, usually they're at a diagonal and you got your legs bent and you're ready to move in any direction at all. Who plays golf? Anyone? Okay, we'll skip that. We'll skip that. That's the end. But, you know, really, no matter what sport that you participated in, if you didn't have that right stance, if you didn't have that firm foundation, you're going to get run over. You're going to get knocked to the ground. Your team is going to take and suffer. So you need that firm foundation. And again, what is our foundation in Christ? Our foundation is the Bible. We need to read it and we need to study it. Not only do we study it in the hour or so that we have a week here in church, but it is important that we read and that we study it during the week. Preferably, it would be nice if you would do it every day, but life happens and you might miss a day, but that's okay. We should all be reading and understanding the scripture, seeing how it applies to our lives. The better we take and understand the Bible, the better that we are going to be able to stand against what would have us turn from the church. And by the way, if during the week you have anything that you're not sure about, ask someone else and get their ideas. Ask me. I would say ask Ben, but I don't want to volunteer him. But anyhow. And not all of us know everything and are going to understand everything. And that is why we need to take and talk and communicate. Let me share. We've been having men's Bible study, 10 o'clock, every Sunday. We're talking about the book of James, which is one of my favorite books. Today, we talked for about, 35 minutes or so? We covered 3 verses. Because we were talking, we were sharing, we were trying to get everything out of that we possibly could. And I learned a couple of things. Ben, did you learn a couple of things? Okay. Ben's been studying the Bible for, let's just say, a long time. And he learned something new. Studying increases our understanding and it also reveals God's will for our lives. It helps us to deal with issues that we face in our personal lives, either something that is going on or helps us to understand something that happened in the past. Reading the Bible can place people and situations on our hearts to pray upon or to act upon. It can convict us to let go of the animosity that we feel towards other people and bring about forgiveness and healing, which is a big problem, my friends. Somebody has made us mad and we have an eternal vendetta against them. Not good. So, I think it's safe to say that the world is out to get us. One of my former pastors, Dale Gilbert, who was at Central United Methodist Church, one day, as his benediction, he said to us, "Be careful out there. They're using live rounds." Just like when my dad needed to have a firm foundation for the garage, we need to have a solid foundation in our lives Otherwise, whenever we are hit with whatever the world, society today brings against us, we will collapse. We will be swept away by the world and its attitudes today. So let us make sure that our foundation is solid by praying and by studying God's word. Amen.